I'm here in the studio with Sydney theatre maker Jane Grimley. Jane, you've just got a show going at the Sydney Fringe Festival at the moment.
Yep, we've got one more show to go, but we've just completed a season or five, I guess, shows called The World's Best Worst House Party. So it's an immersive theatre piece. Yeah.
Tell me about the best worst kind of theme.
Yeah, so I guess the idea for The Best Worst House Party came from all of the terrible and great house parties any of us have ever been to, all of the experiences where we've been bailed up by a drunk person, cracked onto, offered drugs, bored to death, had bad punch, or been at a really lame party where no one's there, or arrived too early, or all of those kind of cringy but delightful experiences. That is about
nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia, but also about like celebrating, I guess, like the minor celebrations that we all have in our lives, like all of the best house parties. And I guess in another way, thinking about the best worst is about celebrating the best and worst in us, like celebrating all of our best and worst features or the things that we think are great and terrible and maybe at the same time.
Brilliant. So opening night I was there, you had a band, Mishmash, the duo.
Yep.
That was really interesting. Interesting kind of concept performance art band. How did you find those two?
Oh, how did I connect with them before? Yeah, so I was recommended to Mishmash Radio Ensemble through my friend Shard. And Shard used to work at Skid Row. So he's got his finger on the pulse of a few different bands and a few different outfits. And in particular, I was looking for someone or an ensemble that could grapple with the concept, that could fit well into the concept, but also be have excellent musical sensibility. So although I'm looking for a great band.
And like, performance as well.
Yeah.
A spectacle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A spectacle, a performance that kind of really embraced the concept of celebrating the good chaos, like the good kind of confusion that happens when we don't know if we should like or hate something.
Yes, because I mean there was very few melodious ideas. It was textures, it was soundscape, the sound level got higher and higher, and it was a bit of an assault on the ears, which was obviously intentional as an artwork. Yeah,
and it was a concept that they had played before. So the piece that you would have seen was called Entropy, and it was a noise art piece that, for me, I can't speak for Mish or for the ensemble, but for me it was really about the glorious tension and the divine kind of tense feeling in the build of the piece before the climax of the piece.
It involved a balloon, or it was some kind of ball that they were
pumping
up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, balloon full of glitter.
A balloon full of glitter that they were pumping, attached to a vacuum on reverse blast. And the sound was getting more and more tense and
loud. Yeah, it added to the texture of what they were doing, and it was building into the expansion.
Until finally this balloon that was about, 4 feet across, at least in circumference.
It was massive.
Yeah. Finally exploded.
Yeah.
And the piece ended, and it was actually amazing, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many different ways that happened. Like, Mishmash Radio Ensemble would perform that piece twice on the two nights that they performed.
Mm-hmm.
And at each time, it was a very different texture, a very different journey, and the tension was palpable every time, except for one, which was just kind of like a non-event where we were all watching the balloon, but it didn't quite work. And then actually Mish had to use a pin. But even that was kind of like a delicious failure inside the context of the party.
Yeah.
But, I think that the work never failed to feel dangerous as well, like this balloon was actually, it could potentially hurt me, it could hurt my ears, and that genuine risk in this space was part of the pleasure.
Yeah, well, the guy directly in front, got out of the way pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
Who else did you have across the whole week of shows?
Yeah, so Melanie Eden and some collaborators were on another night, and the Marrakesh Club, which is kind of like a fabulous outfit, Afro-funk, also kind of Arabic influenced, real party band, real great spectacle as well. They were really fantastic, really great for dancing. But yeah, Melanie Eden and her collaborators were similar noise art, and I have to say that the sound levels were even higher for Mel. And yeah, a really interesting experience, like around desire and alienation. Yeah, her band was really the most unique, or the most unexpected sounds. Like I wasn't quite ready for them, and they floored us as well. So it was really great to have them. And one more, Clinton Haynes, who's actually a musician and a comedian, and so he brought together that to create an ironic identity called Ashley. Oh, now I can't remember his character's name, but it was like this has-been actor that's making a transition into music, which was delightfully painful.
Okay, and you also had some actors who were part of the spectacle of the whole awkward party experience. How did you get all of those actors involved and give them basically things to do in the script?
Yeah, it wasn't as much of a script as it was an intention to remain invisible. So I guess historically there's a style of theatre called invisible theatre, which makes social commentary by creating scenarios in real life situations where as an audience member you would witness this thing happening and you might need or feel the desire to take action because it's unjust or because you feel so passionate about the scenario. So taking that notion and moving it into a party context for me was about inviting actors to work in either a performance that they'd already done, so secretly work in a monologue that they'd been working on or something that was important to them or part of their acting practice, whilst also being in character and embracing a character of like a painful or pleasurable party personality that they've seen or experienced or wanted to experiment with. So performers could enjoy being, there was one guy that only spoke French all night, there was potentially a drug dealer in there maybe, or just very antisocial person. There was a lot of different ways of embodying the space, and I was really lucky to have a fantastic ensemble that I'd worked with some before and just through my own connections and networks of actors. So I was just very lucky to have a fabulous group of people come and join me.
Excellent. So the whole show was pretty well received, I thought. You were nominated for an award.
We're nominated for a Fringe Award, and that's coming up. We'll find out whether we'll win on the 28th.
What was that award called? Immersive Theatre.
Yeah, Best Immersive Theatre. Yeah, so we're nominated. Hopefully we'll win.
Hopefully. Yeah, excellent. the Fringe this year has been just jam-packed quality, diverse programming.
Yeah, so I think I was part of the Fringe in 2008 or 2009. So, yeah, look, maybe even the first or second year of the Fringe 10 years ago. And the growth since then has been so impressive that I really feel like this year we've got more diverse performers, a higher level of a higher calibre of artists working, more venues. Like, I've been really impressed by the management, impressed by the artists involved, and also the community that it's built in Sydney through the Fringe.
Yeah, I've noticed it.
Just in general this year, for example, the Company of Rogues, which is a kind of a medium to an independent but established theatre company, is being part of the Fringe, and you'll see like emerging artists, but really well-established artists, international artists visiting Sydney. And it's such a relief, having been in the desert in Sydney for so long creatively, having finally little buds and little blossoms coming out. It just feels like such a relief, because we didn't really know what the Sydney scene, in particular the independent artists in Sydney, what would happen to us and where we would go, because there was just a real dry patch for funding and for general social support, like within the community.
Yeah. So can you tell me about some other projects you've been involved in recently or that you've got coming up?
Yes. So this is probably my final project for this year, the World's Best Worst Party, House Party. I'm pretty tired after a big year. Another project that I've been really proud of is called The Story Between. And it was a puppetry work where we were telling the story, particularly for young people. So it was a puppetry work for young people that told an asylum seeker story that was about the journey of a young woman from an offshore detention centre, and it was really about courageous truth telling about the situation for asylum seekers and migrants that are waiting on offshore detention centres, and being really honest with our young people about what that story is. So I was really, really proud to be part of that, and that's an ongoing project into next year.
Okay, where is that playing, or where was it playing?
Yeah, so we had the support of the Inner West Council, and we finished a residency as part of the Petersham Town Hall Activation Program. So we worked with a group of young female artists, and when I say young, I mean these are 6, 7, and 8-year-old people that were getting in, telling their stories and investigating what it's like to wait, what it's like to love, what it's like to lose something, what it's like to have to run away, and to really understand how to best tell that story for young people. So we're really proud about that. But we presented the work at the New Beginnings Festival in Darling Harbour, and we also presented the work at 107 independently.
Yeah, 107 in Redfern.
Yeah, that's right, independently in our own, I guess, season there, a short season to kind of establish the work. But, yeah, there's a little bit of a journey, a little bit of a longer road with that project.
Can you tell me about your upcoming shows?
So we've got just one more party, and it's actually called the World's Best Worst Hangover. So all the parties are over.
Brilliant.
And we're really hungover. And actually, it's a secret stage in the City Tattersalls Dance All Night.
Tats at that big old club on Pitt Street.
Yeah, so we've had a complete club takeover. The Fringe has really been doing heaps of shows in there all month, and our final party for the season, our final kind of party, is called Dance All Night. And we're going to take up one secret stage somewhere in the depths of the Tattersalls Club, and we'll be doing a similar kind of vibe. So I'll be collaborating with Ash Baroque, installation and performance artist, Mishmash Radio Ensemble, and a few of the ensemble that are going to make a return for this very special, very chilled out, hungover kind of vibe that we're going to be creating.
Oh, that sounds brilliant.
Yeah, it'll be really great with all the parties dancing all around us. You want to have space just to relax.
Oh, fantastic.
With some weird theatre.
Weird theatre, of course. Excellent, Jane. Well, thank you so much for joining me here tonight. And, well, I'd actually like to have you back sometime, maybe, to chat about theatre.
That would be great.